Gesture if you got them. Okay, R and L. Well, President Obama met the Dalai Lama, or at least that's what he told his wife. Okay, I'll try it again. President Obama met the Dalai Lama, at least that's where he told his wife he was going. Okay, it doesn't work that way either. Well, what do you know?
Not much.
Okay.
Live from Little Rock, Arkansas to Columbus, Ohio, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.
Okay, that proves it.
That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, Little Failure author Gary Steingart, all the news that isn't, and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who will not take $19 billion for his app, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, sir. Hold it down. By the way, do we have any billionaires here? Any 20-year-old billionaires? Okay. All right. Just curious. You can't tell anymore. A kid in a hoodie could be a billionaire, you know. So I'm nice to everybody. That's what I do. Yeah, so you tell your wife you're going out to see the Dalai Lama, you know. I'm just trying to imagine what that's like. Say, honey, where are you going? Dalai Lama. What's she going to say? You can't? You know, because what if you are? What if it actually is a Dalai Lama you're going to see? That's all I'm saying. What do you say? Hello, Dolly. And you bring her back a saffron scarf, and boom, case closed. Okay, never mind. The Chinese, of course, were upset because they make a knockoff Dalai Lama. Inflatable, actually. And you have to go right up to it to see that. Yeah. Squeeze it. Okay, in other news, Ted Nugent does not meet the Dalai Lama. And please, no more rocker Ted Nugent, okay? Off his rocker, Ted Nugent, fine. Someday he'll pick his teeth with a loaded squirrel gun, and that will be that. We're hoping around here, of course, Ted will come up to Wisconsin to help with Scott Walker's campaign. That'll help. Hey, you know, his real name was Tad Nugget. Hence the guns, you know. Anyhow, in the art history gate scandal, President Obama apologizes for saying Caravaggio's use of chiaro oscuro was gratuitous. Thank you very much. Someone else took art history 101, I can see. Okay. That's all I got out of 101. Caravaggio and chiaro oscuro. Something about diagonal lights. Okay. That's all I got. I'm just saying. That and one too many Mary and the Babies. Boy, there are a lot of Mary and the Babies paintings. They're all pretty good, but come on, enough already. It's a Renaissance. Do something else. Anyway, the president apologized for saying that you're better off getting a job than taking art history. That's basically what it was. But we've all seen want ads filled with art historians wanted. So there. In the Olympics, $50 billion and the Russians lose on their own ice. They're calling it Putin's folly. Next, they'll be selling us Siberia really cheap. That'll be the next thing. U.S. is, of course, raking in the bronze, and from a distance, they look gold. Oh, the humiliation. You got to stand in the number three spot and look up at some Canuck jumping up and down. I don't grudge Canada, though. I mean, what else have they got? You know, heated steering wheels, strong beer, and Saskatoon. That's it. So, let them win a medal here and there. The Cossacks whipping Pussy Riot with horse whips has been made a trial event at the Olympics. That's what you gotta like about the Russians. They stay with the basics. The horse whips. But, you know, I'm Pussy Riot. I want Cossacks with horse whips in the video. I mean, it couldn't have been any better for the video. Unbelievable. Well, thank you very much for that. Please don't do sound effects during the monologue on the piano. Let's see then. They know what to do with rock stars, though, the Russians. She said Ted Nugent over there, and let the Russians deal with it. Let's see, a Salt Lake City woman who bought $565 worth of offensive T-shirts to keep them off the backs of kids plans to wash them without separating them. Okay. Her revenge, get it? Okay. North and South Korean families reuniting cannot seem to find their uncles.
I got that one.
Thank you. Yeah. You and... All right. Their auntie's doing pretty well, though. There's a new Edward Snowden action figure, which brandishes a thumb drive. Snowden was elected rector at the University of Glasgow, but got almost as many votes for rectum. It was this close. Seems like a big deal, but the only candidates for rector at Glasgow were Snowden and Woody Allen. Scientists have discovered that a man's and a dog's brains are nearly identical, just dogs keep theirs a lot cleaner. What?
Huh? I wasn't going to say it.
Okay. Ruling on the power of the presidency, the Supreme Court... This is really stellar. Okay, we're going to do this with sound effects next time. Okay? Try it again. Ruling on the power of the presidency, the Supreme Court finds that executive authority is pretty much like parental discretion. Illusory. Okay, a little politics that doesn't work either. Let's try scientists, more scientists. Other scientists this time conclude that sitting is a disease, but it's not the sitting down, it's the getting up, as anyone can tell you. For many over 60, I hear... sitting is a good compromise between standing and falling over. A lot of complications from falling over. There's a plan to split California into 6 ungovernable states. It's advancing right now. I've tried it. Ka-la-for-n-ia. That's 5. Ka-laf-or-ni-a. 5. Can't be done. 5 states. You can do. Mark Zuckerberg gives another kid in jeans and a hoodie $19 billion for an app. The very white-sounding app, WhatsApp. Meanwhile, the black app, what's up? Nothing. I'm just saying. I almost got into this. I actually invested heavily in an app that was called App Yours. It's gone nowhere. You know, I cannot relate to today's billionaires. You know, they don't seem to spend it once they get it. What do they do with it? They don't dress any differently. Still wearing the same schmata, as we would call it in my league. Anyhow. Let's see now. The post office announces a Steve Jobs stamp will power snail mail, ironically. Brett Favre looks at Johnny Manziel, sees a young Brett Favre. Johnny Manziel looks at an old Brett Favre, sees a good reason to learn a trade. Other than art history, of course. And here in Wisconsin, thousands of Governor Scott Walker's emails released will be collected for his presidential book, How Do You Tell a Democrat from a Hole in the Wall? That's all the news that isn't, and not a moment too soon. Thank you so much. Now we're going to pass these out, and you can consider them on the way home, on your long drives home, and see what you can get out of that. Gary Steingart is on with this. That's pretty exciting. He's got a new book. Yes. You know Gary Steingart? Are you a Steingart? Who went woo? Oh, hi. Do you know the Steingarts?
I don't know that, but I really like some of his books.
Some of his books? Not all of them? You love one of his books, but he has like several. Okay, we'll talk about that too. The new one is a memoir, Little Failure, Gary Steingart, author, of course, Super Sad True Love Story. He's on the line with us right now from New York. Hi, Gary, how are you this morning?
Hi. Very good, thank you. Good to be here.
Oh, nice to talk to you. How do you usually spend your Saturday mornings at this point?
In a stupor.
In a stupor? That's from Friday night, though, right?
That's from life.
That's from life? Yeah. So it's true about Russians and drinking then, huh? Can we agree on that much?
We can agree on that much. Yeah. Cheers.
But what I don't understand is it's true of Russian Jews as well? Because, I mean, Jewish people here have trouble drinking.
Yes. I've been actually asked to appear at Jewish community centers to help Jews drink more.
How's that working out so far?
It's a lot. It's an uphill battle, but I try.
So a memoir, and you started this at age 38. Is it too soon to do a memoir when you're not even 40?
Well, I'm 41 as we speak,
yeah.
41 is 73 in Russian years. So.
Just looking at longevity.
I don't got
here.
Much left. Yeah, not a lot of life there.
Yeah. Actually, there is a thing in the Times as well, saying Russians, the people behind them. No, that's not it. Yeah, Russians, the people behind the power. No, that's not from that. Probability that a Russian man will die before he turns 55 is 25%, they said here.
Yeah. Looking good.
Yeah, it's looking good. And is that, and they say here, they imply here that it is all the vodka, but is that, it's probably other drinks as well, wouldn't you think?
Well, yes, we also enjoy heart disease, suicide, accidental death, choking on a mongoose. That's how one of my relatives died.
Choking on a mongoose?
Yeah, after being drunk, yeah.
He got so drunk he tried to eat a mongoose?
That's right.
Okay. So there's history. There's history in
yeah.
the Steingart family. Is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's always choking on a mongoose or driving off the road or eating one stick of butter too many at breakfast.
Oh, God. But just to clear things up, Jonathan Franzen is not your psychiatrist and James Franco is not your wife.
You're talking about that video, yes.
Yeah.
kissing James Franco was the high point of my career.
Yeah, and his too, I'm sure.
Yeah. When he kissed Seth Rogen the next week, a part of me died.
Yeah. Which part was that?
The important part.
That was a good idea. Was it your suggestion to get James Franco for that? That was a little video promoting the memoir.
Was yes, it was my idea. He was a former student of mine at Columbia.
He was?
Yes, he was. And there's a lot of kissing going on that campus, so we decided to continue the tradition on film.
Yeah, I remember you guys got to look. It's on our web. We put it up on our Facebook if you want to see that and see what we're talking about there. So what about these Cossacks whipping Pussy Riot with horse whips? Is that from Russia today or what?
Why does everything in Russia always end with Cossacks whipping Pussy Riot?
I know. It's a cliche.
It's been going on for three centuries in a way, yeah.
I know. It's a cliche.
Move on.
I know, yeah. Move on. It was, when they said the Olympics, the security would be handled by the Cossacks. I thought that was a great move right there. That was reassuring.
Yeah.
If you've never had them ride through your homeland, I think it's a good feeling.
Oh, yeah. Many of my ancestors got to know the Cossacks intimately.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I think a large part. Well, my dad was born in Kiev, but left when he was 1 year old. So that's a lot of foresight right there.
Yeah, that's a lot of foresight. He had the foreskin to move, yeah.
Yeah. That too.
I mean, the foresight, sorry.
Yes, same thing.
Foresight, foreskin.
But were you, in terms of going back to Russia, and I know you have like several times in this book as well, which is a very moving part of the book, but are you actually labeled a pathological Russophobe?
Yes. There's a gentleman on the internet who has this website devoted to pathological Russophobes.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton has made the list, John Kerry made the list, and this year I've been inducted into the Hall of Fame as a pathological Russophobe.
Yeah.
So that's like a Nobel Prize to me.
Yeah. So, but it'd be like being afraid or distrustful of yourself then.
Yes. That's, yeah. I can't even look at myself in the shower. It's too frightening.
Yeah. What was that like, though, going back, the first time I went back to to Leningrad and find it was St. Petersburg? First of all, it must have been a shock.
Yeah, I still think that St. Petersburg is somewhere in Florida. I call it Leningrad. it was interesting. I came back in the 90s when the country was falling apart economically, and It was, you know, you leave a middle-class country and then you come back and it's just completely destroyed. So it was fun.
Yeah, and I know the moving part of the book really is that the chapter where you go back there with your parents and kind of reestablish, particularly your tie with your father and learn about what happened there. But that must have been unbelievably moving for you.
Those moments. I go back. I've been back almost every year in the last decade, just because I need to feel more depressed. You know, life in the States is a little too easy. So, but finding out about my parents' history made me even more depressed. And I realized that, you know, they moved to this country and they left Russia, but Russia never left them. And that's what it means to have immigrant parents, I guess.
Yeah. And what about Russian parenting? Is it just hit the boy? Is that in some?
There's a lot of punching and ducking and swinging and, you know, and then having nicknames like Little Failure, which was my nickname, which is the title of the book. So, you know,
and that was fun. That was from your mother, right? Little Failure.
Yes. My mom called me Little Failure. After I graduated Oberlin College, which is a small Marxist-Leninist college in Ohio. My parents thought I would go to law school after that, but I sort of came out to my mother and said, look, I'm going to be a writer. And she looked around the 100-square-foot apartment I was living with this life-size water bug and said, you, my friend, are a little failure. And I guess it stuck.
But she couldn't have really felt that way. I mean, this is what I don't understand about Russian parenting. Your mother was undermining you constantly. Your dad was also and hitting you in the neck, but that was all love, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's just a different way to love someone.
I guess, you know, with contact.
With contact and insult is how you raise a child.
Yeah.
I'm shocked by American parenting without any of this stuff. What are you guys doing?
Yeah.
How do you keep your hands to yourself?
Oof. Yeah. Is it the kind of thing you miss after a while when no one's hitting you in the neck?
Yeah, I wish somebody would come up to me on the streets of Manhattan and just hit me already. I look so punchable, and yet everyone just refrains.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. And what can we say? I don't know. I don't want to ruin this book if people haven't gotten it yet. Can we say about the revelation from your father when you went back to?
Well, yeah, I don't want to ruin it for people, but it did explain a lot of the way I was brought up.
Yeah.
I learned that my father, growing up, spent part of his 20s in a mental asylum, and that, you know, that explains a lot, too. So.
Yeah. But you're saying that actually learning that did not sort of free you from some of this. It actually made things worse for you psychologically or your work?
No. You know, unlike most New Yorkers, I don't go see a shrink 5 times a week. You know, I only go 4 times a week. So,
yeah.
I've only been doing it for 12 years. I feel like I'm better now.
Good. okay. I guess we're at that. I read someplace that you were at the point of you're getting so much better from the therapy that you're about done with it. You had like one or two more sessions left, and you're cured or whatever that's saying would be.
One or two more sessions, and we switched to yoga completely.
Yeah. That's good. And this, in terms of the memoir stuff, this you were sort of forced to go to a therapist, right, by your friend John?
Yes, I had a friend who said, you know, if you still want to be my friend, you have to seek help. And that's a lovely thing to say, I think, you know.
Yeah.
I wish more people would say that to each other.
Yeah. But those letters he wrote, I mean, the one that's printed in there, the letter that he wrote to you, was pretty devastating character assessment. And
When I was in my early 20s, I think I was a world-class jerk. As many people in their early 20s are. I think that's a wonderful time for it.
Yeah. But you're particularly good at it, I guess.
I was the best. I was the best jerk. I won awards from, you know, the National Jewish Jerk Council.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
What forms would this sort of behavior take, besides the drunken form? But, I mean, what would you do to earn this accolade?
Well, my friend, who was an older writer, and he was very much trying to help me edit and finish and publish my first novel. And I repaid him by just insulting him all the time and calling him a TV writer, which is what he was. Little did I know that TV writing would be the most important form of writing in, you know, 2000, you know.
Are you still there?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. We lost you there for a second. Were you taking a call?
Sorry. I got stuff to do. It's Sunday morning.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, no, it's Saturday, I think, isn't it?
Oh, is it really? This stupor is not letting go. Just getting work.
Yeah. Okay, where were we? And so he told you all this, and he said he would loan you a certain amount of money to be repaid very precisely with interest tied to T-bills.
Yes. So I got a grant to go into psychotherapy.
Yeah.
That's a very Manhattan maneuver, the psychotherapy grant.
That's great. Okay, and so, all right, we're getting somewhere now. I feel like we're really getting somewhere now.
Yeah.
Your Wikipedia page, by the way, is thin. It's light.
Light, yeah.
Yeah, it needs... Yeah. Mine is bigger than yours, and I've done nothing in my life.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
That really makes me sad.
Yeah. And plus, did you know that it's flagged for undisclosed paid editing?
You mean I can make my own Wikipedia page?
I think you can.
Oh, my God, I'm going to call my publisher tomorrow and get going.
Yeah. Okay, I'll get on that because it really...
Is there a piece of picture of me on there looking appropriately her suits?
You know what strikes me, too, in reading the memoir is that all your books are actually are memoirs. Or at least the ones I read, like Super Sad True Love Story, is exactly, seems to be pretty much your life. It's sort of science fictionized in a dystopia and all that sort of thing, but that's pretty much what you live in, right?
Yes, my sort of dirty secret is that I have absolutely no imagination and have to just end up writing about myself all the time.
Yeah, but how you do it is really quite amazing. I mean, the forcefulness of your writing is just about unique. I think your style is like a unique style. How did you develop the forceful way in which you write? I mean, it's forceful and it's really quite powerful.
Well, when I came to America, it was 1980, you know, the sort of Ronald Reagan evil empire era, and being a Russian kid was the worst thing imaginable.
Sure.
There were all those movies, Red Dawn, Red Gerbil, Red Hamster, you know. and so the kids in Hebrew school would really make fun of me all the time, and I had a terrible accent, and I always wore this giant fur hat from Russia. So writing was my defense. You don't have an accent when you write, so mm-hmm. I would write all these things. Like I would, for example, write a version of the Torah called the Gemara, where with Exodus became Sexodus, and Brooke Shields became the sort of the progenitor of the Jewish people, and that made me my first American friend, Brooke Shields.
Yeah.
And so after that, satire became a kind of mode for the rest of my life because it was a way to communicate with people.
Right. And it's a way of dealing with some pretty important issues without dealing with them straight on.
Right, right. And I think this memoir is sort of the first attempt at writing without the kind of just safety net of pure humor that the other books have.
So. Yeah. How hard was that then?
It was very hard. Oh, my God. Don't try this at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very tough to write because humor's always been a friend of mine. And, I mean, the book is still, I hope, somewhat funny, but it's not as uniquely focused on humor as the other books.
Yeah. Is there kind of a club or whatever, an understanding of among immigrant writers? I mean, people write about the same sense, coming from different places, but coming to America and sort of what that reflects back on where they came from. Are there a group of you that hang around and drink?
Yes, it's true. There's a group of sort of young, very furry male immigrant writers that hang out together. I'm the Russian. We have two Indians. We have an Austrian. And we have somebody who's really from a different country. He's from Texas.
How does he get along with the others? Pretty well?
Not well.
No.
Well. But boy, can he barbecue.
Yeah. And the experiences are also different, but are there similarities in what they've found in coming to America, or is it through the lens of America, does it make some things clearer about their origins, or how does that work?
Well, you know, I'll give you an example. My friend and my former mentor, Chang-Rae Lee, the Korean-American author,
sure.
Just published a dystopian novel, And my last novel was dystopian.
Yeah.
So we were being interviewed by New York Magazine, and they asked him why all these immigrants are writing dystopian novels. And he said that any immigrant novel is, in a sense, a dystopian novel, because right. it's about being forced to leave your culture and move to a new culture, and then almost like a species from a different planet trying to adapt.
Yeah, so it's all science fiction of a very of a bad future.
Yeah, we're very good at science fiction.
Yeah. Super Sad is great, by the way. I really love it. It's amazing. And the American Restoration Authority is quite a brilliant idea.
Yeah, we're trying to turn it into a TV series now, so maybe James Franco could play one of the roles.
He could play you, I suppose. Or play Lenny.
He could play Joshy, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, one of those. Together, we'll surprise the world. Well, that's their motto.
That's the slogan,
And they're all carrying these little electronic devices around, these apparatchniks, apparatus.
To research the book, I had to buy an iTelephone.
Did you? An iTelephone?
Yeah.
Have you learned?
It's the latest technology.
Have you learned to use it?
Not yet.
Yeah.
I still like my flip phone.
Yeah. Because our hero in the book is living in this dystopian future, and where he still has books. He has physical books, but people are always telling him that they smell bad.
Yes. In the future, people will complain that books smell bad.
Yeah.
Actually, I've heard some younger people say that about books, that they have a kind of, you know, musty odor.
Yeah.
So I spray all my books with Pine Sol.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy on the plane, Deuter, says, Deuter, your book smells. Yeah. There's so much to talk about here. And the blurbs are another kind of a sidelight of you. You are sort of the king of blurbs. But do you write them just for your friends, or can anyone get a blurb from you?
Literally anyone can get a blurb for their book from me. All I require is that the book have two covers and a spine. And I will blurb it.
You'll blurb it. And, you know, we just had B.J. Novak on the show last week, actually. And
I blurbed him.
He was very proud of your blurb.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
With him, I actually read his book.
You did? And you meant it?
Before blurb. Yeah. It's good. It's a good book.
Yeah, it is good. He said, BJ blew me away, just keeps kicking short fiction in the rear, making it run ahead, clutching its behind, I will say. And then he runs up and kicks it some more, and the result is one of the most aggressively, insanely awesome debuts in a while. So that's really good stuff. Yeah, he was.
I love saying, BJ blew me away was one of my favorite sentences.
Yeah. I hear you. Okay. And the other ones are good too here. I won't read them all, and actually there's a film is now actually a film inspired by your blurbing.
Yes, there's a documentary about my blurbing.
Yeah. Are you at all worried that blurbing is what you'll be known for as a writer and some of these books will just fall by the wayside?
I think that's already happening. People see me more as a blurber and a star of trailers than as an actual writer.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because, you know, who cares about writers anymore? It's all over.
Yeah, it's all over. A disturbing thing about your youth was your innate republicanism. Has that changed at all?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God, yes.
What was
it? I'm left of Stalin at this point, yeah.
Because didn't you volunteer for George W. and...
I volunteered for George H.W.
H.W., the older one, yeah.
Yes, I was a teenage Republican. And then, somebody mistook me for the waiter at the Victory Party. And the next day I was a Democrat. I should have been in the Tea Party by now.
Yeah.
Thank God for the intervention.
Yeah. The bipartisan party would be yours, I think.
The bipartisan party. The party of Super Sad True Love Story.
Yeah. How do you explain that, though? I mean, a kid comes from the Soviet Union, a little kid grows up, and he's a Republican, innately Republican.
Well, most, I think, immigrants from post-communist countries, the Soviet Union and Cuba, become quite conservative as a response to the place where they came from. I grew up worshiping Lenin. There was a big statue of Lenin outside the window, and I would hug his pedestal every morning. And then when we got to America, you know, I was told no more Lenin. Now we have to worship Ronald Reagan. And it was almost the same thing. It worked out really great.
So it was a seamless transition from communism to republicanism?
Absolutely. The two really are not, you know, they go hand in hand.
Yeah. Okay. Stylistically, at least, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe not so much dogma, some of the dogma. All right.
No, not the Dogma.
Okay. And then, okay. The, also in the memo, the thing that strikes me is it really turns out to be as much a memo of, a memoir of your father as it is of yourself. But it's incomplete because at one point your dad says to you, you really should be writing this about me, right? Because I've had an interesting life.
Yes, he said that. Yeah. And it's true. I mean, he had a life. I mean, he grew up in the late 30s, early 40s in Russia. So he grew up under Hitler and Stalin. And I mean, he really saw things that I can only imagine. And it's a really tragic story. His father was killed in the war when he was 3 years old. He was almost killed by German bombers. Those were different times. So yeah. my problems about Hebrew school pale in comparison.
It's more dramatic than SSSQ, right?
Yes, at the Solomon Schechter School of Queens.
Yeah.
Where I was sentenced to 8 years of Hebrew school for a crime I didn't commit.
Yeah. Are your parents still alive, both of them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very much so.
Excellent. Have they come to terms with you and you with them?
I've come to terms with them. I don't know if they fully come to terms with me.
Yeah.
The kind of stuff I write is very surprising to them because it's just so different from what they believe in every sense that I think their expression is sort of, is this really our kid? Did we give birth to this guy?
Well, didn't they start, they disowned you, didn't they, after the first book came out, or the Russian...
They did disown me for about 6 hours, but then they found themselves bored.
Yeah, and they came back again. They said, don't talk to us again. And what was your thing as a kid without talk? What would you think with your mother?
Oh, yes. My mother would give me a very long silent treatment up to weeks at a time. And I would say, if you don't talk to me, it is better not to live.
Better not to live if you don't talk to me. So that was her thing, the silent treatment. But when she says stuff, it's almost worse, right? Because
I think the silent treatment is the worst form of child punishment imaginable. I prefer getting hit on the neck a lot more.
Yeah. And for a while, they were tracking you on a list of published authors, right?
Yes.
Where you ranked.
Yes. And my father told me, first he said, according to the Russian internet, you will soon be forgotten. And then he said, and according to the American internet, you only rank number 30 on the list of living authors.
Number 30. So that was, 10, 15 years ago?
It was a couple years ago. A
couple years ago. Have you moved up from 30?
Yeah. I think I'm down to 78 after this book.
Is it not well received?
No, it was very well received. I'm very happy.
Yeah. You hardly ever get bad reviews anymore. You probably had a few in the beginning, though, right? Because your style is...
This one was my father, yes. Yeah. Bad reviews from the family, but none from published sources yet. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's really... That's something. In terms of stylistics, I'm still wondering about this. Can you trace your style of writing, your stylistics, to any particular author? I know Chekhov keeps coming up, but I don't know if you're Chekhovian.
I'm not too Chekhov. Chekhovian was, Chekhov was a genius, the way he had so much empathy for people. I just have empathy for my dachshund and a couple of other people, but that's it. I think Nabokov, their style, and maybe Philip Roth for the humor combined with, this kind of intense examination of the Jewish family.
Mm-hmm. Nabokov, you know what I loved about all his early German books, novels, and such, and stories?
The one set in Germany, yes.
Yeah, well, when he was living in Germany, I believe, at the time, and wrote all this stuff, and I loved them. And then,
they're wonderful.
Yeah.
And he was giving lessons in tennis and chess to survive back then.
Yeah.
So, fascinating.
But then he got too smart for me. In later years, I could not, because you really have to understand chess and butterfly collections and stuff to know what's going on at all, and I wasn't there.
I can't wait to write Nabokov for Dummies or something like that. Really, really catch in.
That'd be a good one. I imagine, though, that you are in the midst of another writing project that you probably can't talk about, right?
No, I want to write a novel set from a woman's point of view entirely, so... I've been trying to meet women lately to talk to them and figure out what they're about. So if you're a woman, please write me a letter and just
tell
me
what
it's like.
What you're all about, and that's going to
be. Yeah.
Okay.
I got to capture that voice, you know.
That voice, yeah. Which, by the way, when you first got your book deal, the whole thing of it was you had a book deal and how excited you would be for that, but I realized finally you could get, you know, you get a woman. You get some action, yeah, at this point.
Yeah. Here I was, this small, furry guy nobody would look twice at, and all of a sudden, damn.
Yeah. So that, you know, probably you want to change that in years to come in for biographers, that, you know, that moment and make it something a little more elevated, don't you think?
I think so. I think so. I'm waiting for that book deal to come through.
The next one. Well, A Little Failure is the name of the book. It's a memoir. Gary Steingart, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Great to be there.
Very pleasure talking to you. Okay. Gary Steingart. The book is Little Failure. He's Big Success Now. Get it and read it. Steingart blew me away. Just keeps kicking short fiction in the rear. All right. I got a lot of notes here that I've been taking.
Wow.
Get to most of this stuff. I work on this stuff. I want you to know. All right. Have you read Steingart?
No.
I think you would like Steingart.
Really?
Huh. You didn't think so, huh, from that? Huh?
Well, sometimes it's hard to tell by an interview.
Yeah, I know.
Because I've gone both ways. Like, sometimes I think, oh, that's going to be great, and then I read it, it's like, ugh. Yeah. And other times I think, wow, what an idiot, and I read it, it's like, wow, that's really good.
And he tends not to let you get
too close,
yeah. So
yeah, that's okay.
Don't be crushed. But you can read the memoir for that and find out exactly what's going on there. And watch the video with James Franco and him. James Franco is his wife in the video, wearing a little pink house coat. It's very sweet. Okay. So what then? What's going on?
Well, March 9th, Jazz on a Sunday.
Yeah.
At the Brink Lounge at 3 o'clock, Jeff and I and Brian Ritter are going to do a little concert.
Oh, you're actually working together.
Yeah, sponsored by the Madison Music Collective.
Far out. When is that?
March 9th. Yeah. You can find out more information at madisonmusiccollective.org.
Okay, so if you're anywhere in the tri-state area.
Or quad state.
Quad state. Or whatever that comes after quad, something after that. So, okay, then this number here is something you're going to probably hear at that.
Today I guess all things Russian, right? So this is a Russian folk song.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh. You don't have to do that. He used to do that with a beer in his hand. It was a lot funnier, actually. Okay, let's see here. We've got going the audience here, and I've got this. I needed part of your card to floss. A raspberry seed got stuck in my teeth. Isn't that funny? Can you ever eat a raspberry without it sticking in your teeth? Thank God you came to the show today and got an audience card. Where is the individual who flossed using his card? Okay. Did you get it?
I did.
They're a little thick, actually. Okay. Mike Dahlman, Middleton. Okay, for some humor, since you want to get back to the monologue. How about some humor instead? Mike Dahlman, Middleton, Wisconsin. What happened when the frog went to the bank to borrow money? Okay, Mike Dahlman. Okay, it's going to be a walk, but we'll get there. It's going to be worth it. Wait till you hear this punchline. If you liked my stuff, this is going to knock your socks off. Where is Mike Dahlman? There he is. Mike, I'll let you deliver the whole thing. I'm good. How are you?
Well, thank you. Okay, so this takes a minute.
Okay.
So a frog walks into a bank, right? And he wants to take out a loan. And so he meets the loan officer. Her name is Patricia Black. And so he meets with Patricia Black. She shows him the application. He fills it out. She says, what do you have for collateral? So he breaks out a little box full of tchotchkes and collectibles. And she's not sure if that's sufficient. So she calls the bank manager over. Bank manager comes over, looks everything over, and of course you know what he said.
No, what?
These are knickknacks, Patty Black. Give that frog a loan.
Oh, boy! I wish I would have used that one. Oh, no! All right. I want you to write for me, man. Can you write for me? If you can write that, you can write for me, and it'll be a whole different show.
I got to tell you, I may have heard that about 10 years ago.
Oh. But not delivered like that.
And her name was Patty Whack in the...
Oh, yeah, no, I don't think so.
The old version.
I think you got that wrong. Because Patty Whack doesn't make any sense at all. All right. I forgot to hand these out. This is the four disclaimers. Somebody needs to read this before we actually play the quiz. Anyone like to do this just off the, I don't know, spur of the moment kind of thing? Okay, here we go. Time to play the What Do You Know quiz, ladies and gentlemen, before we can. That's right. Continuing the hilarity. Before we can do that, we have to know the four disclaimers. And today we have...
Kim Groshek from Jefferson.
From Jefferson. Reading them. There you go, Kim. We'll give this to you. Good luck to you.
All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Honey, I was two with the Dalai Lama. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or LAC guys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. Thank you. We can keep that just to prove you. That'll validate your parking. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to play the What Do You Know quiz. That's right. Stop applauding for a minute just because the sign is on. Who wants to play the quiz? You can't hear me because you're applauding. Who wants to play the quiz now? Let's see a hand here or some sort of indicator. Indicator. That was an indicator. Okay, come on over here. I'll meet you over there. We'll find out the, because you did indicate. Indicated interest in the quiz. Are you good with quizzes and that sort of thing?
Depends. You know, added pressure. Hard to say.
In school, were you good on a quiz, though? A pop quiz? You were...
Maybe, yeah. Pop quizzes.
Yeah. Take that sort of pressure.
A plus.
And you are, your name?
My name is Molly. I am from Michigan, but now live in Madison.
Okay. How do you compare and contrast?
It's all right. I like Madison.
Okay, it's all right. Okay, all right. Molly, one good reason you should play this quiz.
This is the only weekend I'm not traveling, and I choose to spend it here.
Fabuloso. Come on down here, Molly. We'll go up these steps here. It's a little easier than going around the long way. Molly from Michigan. And have a seat right there next to the emu, if you would, please. Make yourself at home. It's a nice, fresh a cup of water, absolutely free.
Thank you. For you.
In case you get dry. Oop, I'm okay. All right. I'm good. Thanks. So where in Michigan, then?
Traverse City area.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Interlochen.
So that Traverse City, that's kind of like a lot of tourists.
A lot of tourists, yeah. Always had a summer job that way, though.
Yeah, what'd you do? What'd you work at?
Waiting tables at a country club, working at a tourist shop. So, yeah. Super exciting.
And did that inspire you towards the career you're in now?
Not at all, yeah. Although it is a little customer service oriented.
Yeah. What is your career exactly?
I work in healthcare IT, in implementation.
Okay, I wish I knew what that was. I know some of those things. I've heard
of
healthcare.
I help install electronic medical records.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
So is that like an epic kind of thing?
It is kind of an epic thing.
Is it?
It's an epic venture.
It's not an epic fail, I hope.
No, never.
Yeah. Does it use epic?
It does.
Okay, because we have other epic people here, don't we? We got an epic crowd here now. Okay, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Is that what you thought you'd be doing? Because my daughter is looking for something. She's 23.
We'll not
be
23 at all.
Now.
But, I mean, I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I studied brain behavior and cognitive science in school, so that is
that not at all. That gets you nowhere, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you do with brain behavior?
analyze people.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. That's good. A good job. You like it, but you travel a lot, huh?
I do travel a lot, yeah. I go out to Tacoma, Washington a lot, and now to South Carolina a lot.
Yeah. What's in those places?
More hospitals.
Oh, you go to the hospital and you fix up their whole...
I help install it, kind of.
Yeah, you don't fix it because it's perfectly fine.
It's perfectly fine.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great. And for kicks, not that you have time or anything, but what do you do?
Do you like to enjoy? Just fun. I really like to cook for other people.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Not for yourself, though?
I mean, for myself, too, but it's even better if I can share it with friends.
I know. It's motivating, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Plus, they like me better after it.
Yeah, and you have, have you invented some of your own dishes? Are you that sort of a cook?
I throw things together, yeah.
Yeah. Have you thrown together that you're really
Yesterday, my roommate and I made funfetti mini cupcakes stuffed with brownies and a buttercream frosting.
That sounds really, my daughters would love that, I'm sure.
They were cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice funfetti stuffed with a cupcake stuffed with a brownie. Mm-hmm.
Mini. You have to remember the mini part.
Yeah, I think so.
Extra cute.
You need a really large cupcake.
Exactly.
Well, that sounds really, really good.
Yeah.
So someone out there plays along with you, Molly, this works. And we answer a qualifying question. And how does that work then there?
People who want to play along, pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
Okay. If you do a long backward glide on the outside edge of one skate as you approach your jump, causing you to arc counterclockwise, clockwise if on the left foot, or counterclockwise if on the right, then reach back with the other foot, tap the toe pick into the ice, and vault off it, turning in the opposite direction to the arc in the air. You have just done a what? Some sort of a skating move. You want to know what that would be if you follow all those directions. And you got to think about all that as you're doing it. That would be a stopper for me. Rebecca, what would that be if you were doing all that on the ice?
Would that be a triple lutz?
That would be a lutz! Oh, you're so good, Rebecca! I think you ought to win right now for that. Yes, that is the lutz. Whether you do a triple or
amazing.
A quad, have you done anything like that?
Oh, no. I've only tried ice skating once in my life and swore I would never do it again.
Yeah, did an accidental lutz, probably, huh?
Yeah.
If you can't repeat them, it's not worth doing, I guess. Do it once, wow, I just did a lutz. Okay. And what do you do these days, Rebecca, there in Springfield?
I'm actually looking for work.
Oh, are you?
So the technical answer to your question, I suppose, would be nothing at the moment.
Well, do we need people in the IT, in medical IT?
Where
would she go to find out about some? Because
Epic.com?
Epic.com? They're hiring all over. How does that sound? Are you good with IT and medical services? And
probably not.
That's the wrong answer. Wrong answer.
I probably would do better with either child care or elder care.
Okay. Well, okay. I'll get back to you on that.
Okay.
So, Rebecca, this is Molly, by the way. Molly, Rebecca.
Pleasure
Molly.
To meet you. Hi.
Okay. You're a team. We're going to work on this. We have various categories. Don't we, Sarah?
We do. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. What would you like, Rebecca? You choose.
Let's do odds and ends.
Odds and ends. True or false, baby poop bacteria help make delicious and healthy sausages.
Oh, Molly, what do you think?
Baby poop bacteria, or the bacteria found in baby poop.
That's...
Let's say
gross.
can help make delicious and healthy sausages. I think can is an important word to put in there.
What do you think, Rebecca?
Well, I'm kind of thinking it's one of those questions that's a trick question. So I'm thinking it's got to be true because, you're thinking it wouldn't be.
All right, I'll go with you on that.
Yeah, this should be somewhere in your IT there, this very thing.
And cooking.
That's true. Yes, lactobacillus, which is more common in baby poop than anywhere. Very good if you make a fermented sausage. Those of you fans of fermented sausage might want to try that at home. Yes.
That was so wrong, but one right and zero wrong.
Yeah.
And the categories that remain are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school or science.
Molly, what do you have?
How about school?
School it is.
Paid some attention.
Yeah, did you?
Maybe that'd work.
The narwhal. Did you ever learn about the narwhal? You did? Okay, cool.
Narwhals.
Cool. The narwhal of the Arctic is commonly known as one of the following. Is it also called the sea cucumber, the sea unicorn, or the sea ulator?
Sea unicorn sounds good. What do you think, Rebecca?
Sea unicorn.
I am thinking you are totally right, because isn't there like some sort of like appendage from the nose or something?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, it's got a horn.
Are you talking about me or the narwhal?
Sure.
The narwhal.
The narwhal, yes. Sea unicorn. You can see one up in Bath and Bay if you're up that way. So check it out. That's pretty cool. Okay, that's...
Two right and zero wrong.
Oh, they're doing great. What's left there?
Current events, people, places, or science.
Rebecca?
Molly, what are you thinking about science?
Sure. Love it.
Science it is. Sexually frustrated flies. Okay.
Okay.
A, I've got my own problems. B, live longer, unhappier lives. Or C, live shorter, unhappier lives, according to UCSF, San Francisco, California. They studied sexually frustrated flies. How they knew that, I don't know.
I am beginning to be sorry I picked this one.
No, this is good. This is good. This beats baby poop by a mile.
Well, that's true.
I've got my own problems. Live longer, unhappier lives, or they live shorter, unhappier lives if they're sexually frustrated.
You'd think they'd die sooner if they're so sad and frustrated.
Some of us live very long, actually.
Yeah, I was actually kind
Nothing
of
worse than a long, unhappy
life. Unhappier lives, because it seems like I've heard this question, this trivia somewhere before.
So you're saying what?
Longer and happier?
I'll go with you on that.
Yes, longer, unhappier. Isn't that amazing? What's the point, you wonder sometimes. There are flies sulking right now wondering what is the point of this. Do we have time to go for the one?
Sure, we do.
Okay.
Sure, we do.
You get this right, you win everything, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
Okay. What's a one shot, though? You don't have to do it. You want to do it?
Sure.
For all we have?
Good choice.
Rebecca?
Yeah, let's
yes?
do it.
Okay, what's remaining?
Current events, people, or places?
Okay.
Places.
Places it is. See if you know this here. The number one city for singles in the U.S. of A. Is it Milwaukee, Iowa City, or Santa Barbara, California?
Now, are you talking about the city that has the most singles in it?
No, I don't mean they just accumulated there. I mean, that's the place, if you're a single, that's where you should be.
That's the place to be.
Yeah. Is it Milwaukee, Iowa City, or Santa Barbara?
It's warm in Santa Barbara. Barbara.
Not that cold in Milwaukee, no. Either.
Yeah. Milwaukee, they got to keep warm somehow.
Yeah. There you go. So Santa Barbara, you leaning towards?
Yeah.
Yeah? Rebecca?
Are you sure it's not Milwaukee?
It could be Milwaukee.
I'm from Milwaukee, and I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I'm with Molly.
All right.
Yes, Santa Barbara. It's no contest. Number one, Iowa City. Number three, Milwaukee. Number 10, though. Not so bad.
Molly, put yourself in a springtime state of mind with an authentically detailed Big Farm full-function radio control Case tractor.
Wow.
Just like the real thing, only smaller, from Case New Holland. And after a long day in the fields, prepare a scrumptious repast for farmhands using the Feeding the Crew cookbook from the Ridgefield Historical Society.
Wow.
And get historical perspective reading Edward Janus's Creating Dairyland, How Caring for Cows Saved our soil, created our landscape, brought prosperity to our state, and still shapes our way of life in Wisconsin, from the Wisconsin Historical Society Press, and sit by the fire reading Paul Sisk's Rhyme from the Field and Farm, A Little Laughing Will Do You No Harm. Rebecca, you can begin every day with What Do You Know? Audience enthusiasm, drinking Stephen Brew's breakfast blend, and relax in the afternoon with rich and smooth Costa Rican Terasu from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee, which is coffee done right. There are many other things I do not have time to tell you about. However, I can tell you we will be in Peoria on March 22nd, and I can also tell you that Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. This
and
is PRI.
Rebecca. Hang on, Rebecca.
Radio.
Make sure you get that. Congratulations. You won a lot of stuff. Oh, boy.
Now we're having fun. Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, our town of the week, thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who will not pick up when he sees it's the Dalai Lama, it's Michael Feldman.
All right. Earbuds. Headphones are weird, R and L. How many of you actually make sure that your R bud is on your R ear? No, you have to applaud because it's a radio. Applaud if you actually... How many of you just put them on because it doesn't make any difference anyway? Minority, actually. I have to say, most people actually do. Well, those of you who do see that that your R bud goes on your R ear, et cetera, what is that? Is thinking that you'll go crazy if you get the wrong input into the wrong ear, like if the left side goes in your right ear? What's the thinking? I mean, I do it myself, but it's crazy. I think it's neurotic, right? Because is there any difference, really, if R goes on your left ear?
If it's probably listening to, like, the voice, there's not. But if you're listening to music, I think it's the way it's recorded is set up to be, you know, that direction.
Yeah, but, you know, my speakers on my stereo have been in the wrong channel.
Well, that explains a lot.
For 35 years now.
I can see that.
And because I know when I try to do the balance on thing, the other speaker is actually the left, and the right comes on over there. But I don't feel any of the worse for it, necessarily.
No.
Musical styles have changed. But the actual, you know, because stereo is artificial anyhow, isn't it? We don't hear things in separate channels, really.
We don't?
No.
Oh, okay.
Anyone want to add to this? Because it's
audio engineer, actually.
Because you spend so much of your time, how many minutes of a day, even, if you're a young person, figuring where the R is. Why don't they make them different colors? But if they could agree, yes, reason?
If you listen to Led Zeppelin, what should and what should never be, then instead of it going,
wait a second. This is
that was my point exactly. Exactly my point.
I could not tell you what you just said. And I feel this is kind of important because I'm so sick of trying to get the R and the L and thinking that it didn't matter. But now we have some indicator here that, in fact, it does matter. And I think no one could say it better than you. In fact, I know that for a fact. It's just stand up here. And your name is?
Dave Dovick.
Dave. And you're a big music guy.
Yeah, that's right. I listen to lots of rock and roll.
Okay. Now explain to me why it's important to have your channels in the right channel.
Well, if you listen to Led Zeppelin, there's a song called What Is and What Should Never Be. And the sound bounces from speaker to speaker at the end. It goes right, left, right, right, left, right, left, left. And if you change it, if you put those in the opposite ears, then it's going to go all backwards. Left, left, right, right, left, right, left, left. And it just messes with the whole program.
So you're saying it screws up the intent of the artist?
Yes. What Led Zeppelin wished to portray is now the opposite.
Thank you very much. That's very good.
Thank you.
I thought that was wonderful. And that's true. And I know in the Beatles, we're back when we first had stereo, remember? When we were listening to it, wow, stereo. Everything was mono when I was a kid, you know. And then you had to buy all your Beatles albums over again because they went to stereo. But that one where there's a barnyard, a chicken, good morning, you know, at the end of it ends with a chicken clucking in one, or a rooster crowing in one, and on the left side, I think, because my speakers are reversed. And then it goes through your head. It goes all the way, right? A rooster goes all the way through your head and comes out the right side of your head into the right speaker. And I thought, God. I don't know. I just thought, well, that is so important somehow. You know what I mean? Have you ever had that experience?
Me? No. Not.
Your generation doesn't know what I'm talking about.
There's a sound file online. If we were speakers, I think they record it with different telephones. It's almost like you're getting a haircut. And if you listen to it and close your eyes, it's very eerie and spooky because it's
a haircut that goes from speaker to speaker.
Yeah, it basically they designed it when they record it so that when you're actually sitting there listening to it with the speaker with the correct left ear and the right ear, and you close your eyes, it's almost like you're there getting a haircut.
Well, there you go. There's your generation's interpretation of something very profound with Led Zeppelin. And he's getting a haircut, and it sounds like you're getting a haircut, see. But nobody, doesn't anyone actually listen to speakers anymore? I mean, that's the other problem. You do, but you're an older guy now. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, young people just have their earbuds, right? I mean, do you have a stereo set with speakers?
I mean, I've got a computer.
I mean what?
I have a computer and it's got speakers on either side, so
yeah, not you don't here. Listen to important music on that.
Well, I mean, all my music is on there, most of it.
Is that if you want to enjoy? If you get a new, do you get albums anymore?
Yeah, no, I get
concept
CDs. Yeah, I get CDs. Okay.
But you listen to it probably on your earbuds, right?
Or in my car. Yeah.
I mean, you got to understand the concept of getting stoned with a speaker on either ear. And listening to the Doors, you know, and it's pretty cool because it's lots happening in each side of your head, plus your stone, so anything could be happening. You've missed all that. Your generation has missed all that.
I really have. I'll take your word for it.
All right. That's on a tangent or something, but I just seemed important at the time. Maybe it wasn't. Okay, anyhow. No, you know, when I came up to Madison, I had never smoked pot. In high school. I wanted to, but my friends wouldn't give it to me. So I said, you know, it's a crutch. I'll never do it. So I come up to Madison. It's 1967, for God's sake. So don't judge me. Anyhow, so the Beatles, I know it was. We had the Rolling Stones Flowers album. It was big at that time. Bob sure had it. And he had this little stereo thing. So first time I smoked. And I said, you know. So I said, wow, you know. I feel something. Me, who always said, you know, it's a crutch, I don't need a crutch. Suddenly I needed crutches. So I sat literally with one speaker on one ear, pressed to one ear, another speaker pressed to the other ear, and I said, I can slow the music down. I can bring it to a stop. So, I mean, that sort of experience your generation, you know. See what you missed? Okay. Where were we talking about somewhere? You know, each week at this time, we read actual memos sent in by actual listeners. All right. People don't buy those stereos anymore with 100 watts, 200 watts. Do you have anything like that? You should get one, man. You get them on eBay. You know, get an old one, you know, some Yamaha with, you know, 5,000 watts. And get these giant speakers. You can stack them up. You know? I'm saying, you know,
Pioneer.
Send a message to your neighbors. Okay. Pioneer. That's the way to go. You still got yours?
Yeah.
How many watts you got, man?
It's 100 per channel.
100 per channel? Yeah. That's pretty good.
BIC 4 to the 6 speakers.
Okay. Name dropper. Speaker name dropper. Actual memo sent by actual listeners. Here it is. Let's see here, somewhere, I don't know, office situation. Is it a college? Could be. Okay. It reads as follows. Good afternoon. I wanted to make everyone aware of a new item you will see in both the men's and women's bathrooms upstairs. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to Poo Pourri. This little bottle of magic will allow you to visit the restroom for your most intimate time without ever leaving a trace you were there. Just a few spritzes does the trick. Think I'm kidding, just ask Andy. He walked into the bathroom after an unnamed employee tasted the product, and reported, it works, it really works. Unbelievable. What will this put a stop to? People yelling in the hallway about the horrendous smell in the bathroom. People walking into the HR office, describing the smell to Brian and myself. People playing the part of Jason Bourne so no one sees them walking out of the bathroom. Enjoy, guys. That's the memo, and actually there is a picture of it here, of the setup in the bathroom, a little sign that says, attention, See magic lever detail below. Activating the designated omnidirectional lever by pushing or pulling will make it make all that bad old poop and pee-pee go away. Must be a university is what I'm thinking here. Simple push or pull starts the safe home interior transfer for letting out waste system. Okay, I see what that spells. Do your part to eliminate odoriferous contamination of communal offal depositories. Push or pull, the choice is yours. And arrow points to omnidirectional. Thank you so much for that memo. Yes. No, thank you. Seriously. It could have been much worse. Okay. And where can they send those memos, should they have them?
They can send memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org with the subject line memos, or they can go to notmuch.com and post it there. There's also snail mail if people want to send.
How do they do that?
Well, they would get an envelope and they would address it 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706, care of What Do You Know? Thanks for the memos.
Yeah. Hey, and don't forget, if you're on the Twitters, you can follow me. I don't advise it. I don't even recommend it. But I'm at My Feldman.
That's
on
correct.
The Twitters, yep. There, and it gets pretty out of hand and outrageous sometimes.
And you can follow the show too.
Yeah, but you don't want to do that.
Okay, I won't tell them then.
Okay, yeah, okay. Don't confuse them.
Okay, at My Feldman.
That's the way to go, I think. Okay. Don't you?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Listen to it on your Pioneer speakers is best for the show. Well, you know, each week at this time, and some weeks not at all, but this week, yes, and last week, too. We're on a roll here. We pick a town or a village, a bird, and a rearranged map of the same. Here is Sarah Nix with our Town of the Week.
Our Town of the Week this week is Covington, Georgia, in Newton County. It was founded in 1821 and named after Army Brigadier... You okay over there?
I'm fine.
Okay. Named after Army Brigadier General Leonard Covington, who was a hero of the War of 1812. Early settlers found beautiful woodlands of virgin pine and hardwood trees. They cleared the land, though, for farming and established plantations throughout the region. The early economy grew around gristmills, sawmills, and other plants for processing agricultural goods. The town grew after the railroad moved.
What is a gristmill?
I think that's where they put, like, grains in between two big stones, and then the water turns the wheel.
Ah.
Yeah, okay.
And that's grist. Grist means a wet grain.
I think the water is the thing that turns the wheel. I don't think that there's any water in the grinding process. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. The town grew.
Can you buy just grist if you want to grind your own?
Grits sounds kind of like grist.
Yeah.
So.
But it's not.
No, it's not.
Okay.
I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe we should ask the audience.
Okay.
Okay. So the town grew after the railroad moved in around 1845. In 1864, General Sherman's troops marched through the city. Several antebellum homes survived that looting, and Covington residents say it's now one of the most picturesque parts of Georgia. Oh. Two Covington neighborhoods are actually on the National Register of Historic Places. Mm-hmm. Covington's only 36 miles from downtown Atlanta, and the population these days is about 13,000. The city is building its economy through manufacturing and tech businesses. Covington has lately labeled itself the Hollywood of the South.
Oh, why is that?
Because scenes from The Vampire Diaries, The Dukes of Hazzard, and the recent remake of Footloose have been shot there.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep. Visitors who are Vampire Diaries fans can do a tour of familiar set locations, and visitors who are looking for some local sports action can check out the Oxford College Eagles. Huh. And that is our Town of the Week in Covington, Georgia.
Oxford College is down there, too, huh? The Eagles?
It's a campus, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. How are the Eagles doing this year? Did you happen to see anything?
No, I have no idea.
Okay. See if anybody has ever been there, because we can't find anyone who wants to talk. Says little Lyle Anderson there in the booth there, who's calling randomly right now. Keep at it, will you, Lyle?
Whatever happened to Southern Hospitality, man?
Don't give up.
Keep dialing.
Well, when we call from the north, it doesn't extend that far. You
know? Oh, that's perhaps. What it is.
They're still upset about that Sherman thing.
Ah.
I mean, I did go to William T. Sherman School, elementary school.
Oh,
so,
boy.
Something I don't bring up when we're traveling down there.
It's not a good time.
I do apologize for it in advance. Covington, Georgia, Hollywood of the South. And once again, you know, I'm a little out of the mix these days. What is Vampire Diaries?
I don't know. I've actually never seen it.
Oh.
I would assume it has something to do with vampires.
Come on, you guys. You watch that? You guys?
Dukes of Hazzard?
Without the speakers. Or you gonna listen to speakers if you're getting a haircut simulation?
No.
No? Vampire? Anyone here seen Vampire Diaries?
Wow.
I got the feeling that's a really hot thing right now, but no one's watching it, so that's a little
I guess there's not much overlap with a public radio audience.
Intuitive.
Footloose? Anybody?
Oh, we're going. We're looking for someone from Covington, so we're still. But we do have someone here who. Hello, is PJ?
Yes, this is me.
Hi, are you from Covington, Georgia?
No, I'm not. I'm from Brecksville, Ohio.
Oh, ever been down that way or?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. Well, what can I do for you then, PJ?
Oh, I was calling because I thought I had a decent answer for your right earbud, left earbud.
Oh, okay, issue. Sure. Yeah, it is an issue.
Well, I think that, you know, I'm a sound engineer. I do Broadway musicals.
Oh, you do?
And most popular music, the panning of the drums is set up so you're looking at the drummer like they're performing on stage.
Okay.
And so as people are playing their music and they play their hi-hats or their tom-toms, things will pan across your ears in the way as if you're watching the drummer rather than standing behind them creepily.
And lurking, huh? Or trolling the drummer.
That's right. Yes.
So is that just for the drummer then? Nothing, is anything else pan besides the drummer?
Pianos, keyboards would be panned. I mean, depending on how the band wanted things to be done, they might put guitars on one side or the other. I mean, that kind of stuff.
Okay, but what would be panning to the right for the drummer would be panning to our left then, right?
The drummer, their left would be their hi-hat, their right would be their low tom-tom. And for us, it would be the opposite because we're watching them from an audience perspective.
So doesn't that kind of ruin your whole argument, though? Because, I mean, the music itself is actually being reversed in terms of panage.
Well, you're listening as you're an audience member.
As a listener. You're listening as a listener. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I would put my right earbud in my right ear.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what about if you go to quadraphonic sound? Are they still doing the quad sound anymore? That was a big thing at one point. I know I actually had a stereo that was supposed to be quadraphonic. It had four speakers.
Right.
But they all were playing the same thing, basically. I couldn't figure it out, so I got rid of it. But
that was a fun thing in the 70s that did not last.
No, the 70s didn't last.
Surround sound.
What?
Yeah.
What do we have now?
Surround sound for the movies. You know, we got your 5.1s and your 7.1s.
Yeah.
Put all those crazy Dolby's and DTS speaker systems in the movie theaters, and some people have them in their homes. So there's a lot of panning with that kind of stuff.
Okay, but is that realism as far as sound goes, or is that actually just another new convention?
It's all contrived.
Right.
There's no way to get a speaker system to sound like you're in an orchestra hall or something like that.
Okay. All right.
You know, they're just artificially placing things in your soundscape.
Right. Because actually in our brain now, do we have like two speakers in our brain, or does it go to different sides of the brain in terms of what?
No, I've got a question after.
Yeah, okay, yes. Hang on for a second. I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. All right, thanks, PJ.
Sure.
I appreciate it. Okay. Certainly cleared up a lot about Covington, Georgia, our town of the week. And I guess we're still calling out there. Anyone here I've been to Covington?
Atlanta?
No. Covington, Kentucky.
We need Covington, Georgia, though. It's our town of the week, and right now we're calling. Anyone out there right now who's been to Covington, Georgia, or knows someone who has been to Covington, Georgia?
Or who's seen Vampire Diaries.
Yes, who has seen Vampire Diaries and what that tells us about Covington, Georgia. Maybe someone who went to Oxford College there was an eagle. Or someone who enjoyed...
Or a lady eagle.
Huh?
A lady eagle would be good, too. Fighting lady eagles.
Okay. And the phones are not ringing. I don't see any lights on this. It could be out, though. Sometimes it gets disconnected. Covington, Georgia, going once. No one here has been down there? Anyone from the South in general?
South Dakota
won't do it. Yeah, nice try, though. Any other Covingtons here? I've been to a Covington, maybe in another state.
Know anybody with the last name Covington?
I have an uncle
You have an uncle that lives in Atlanta. Thank you for trying to help. All right, going once, going twice. That's our Tom of the Week, Covington, Georgia. Thank you very much, Sarah Nix. So no one wanted to talk to us? Did you find people and they just didn't want to talk to us? Does your microphone work? Try it once. Push the button and talk once.
They're not even paying attention to us.
Lyle. Lyle's talking to someone else.
You got the Olympics on back there.
He's listening to This American Life on earbuds.
Backwards.
What? Huh?
Everybody has a caller ID. They screen their calls.
So what? You see, what do you know? You won't take the call? Are you kidding? It'll be a chance of a lifetime. Would you, if you're sitting at home and you see what, you know, lights up and says, what do you know? Would you take the call or not?
Telemarketing.
It doesn't say telemarketing. It says, what do you know?
Well, it might be blocked call. Maybe that's it.
Could be. Private caller.
Private caller.
Get those private callers? Yeah, I'm going to pick up. It says private caller. Right?
No, don't pick that up.
Lyle, what are you doing in there? Talk to me. Talk to me, Lyle. Talk into the microphone. That thing there. Yeah, you never use it except once every 2 years. Say
it,
something.
It appears not to be working.
Not working.
Couldn't find anybody from Covington.
Okay, thanks. I didn't know that. Okay, Covington, Georgia. Long may she wave, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. You want to try this now, Sarah?
We got maybe somebody else does.
What?
Does anybody else want to throw the dart? So
no, well, you do. You have to do this.
I have to throw the dart?
No, you take the dart and you find someone to throw. Have we done this before, haven't we?
I know. I was just asking him.
Yeah. Jeez. No, come on.
Jeez, man.
Professionalism. That's what we demand here on What Do You Know?
It is?
Somebody.
Who'd like to throw the dart?
Very nice.
Don't all get up at once. Ready?
This picks our time.
Anybody? Yes, come on up. Come on up. Hopefully you can find a town of the week with a little
more
charisma.
Don't walk with a dart in your hand.
You put an eye out.
Aim for the north, although it really doesn't matter since we rearranged the map. Let's go this way. Tell me your name.
Tess Leminski.
And you're in from?
In from Beloit today, but I actually lied earlier. I'm from Virginia.
Does that count as the south?
Pretty close to Georgia. Stone throw.
Depends on whether you want to count it as the south. Strategically in Virginia.
Got it. So you know how this works. You're just going to throw a dart at a board, and you're going to try not to hit Michael.
Now we're cooking.
Okay. Don't worry about John. Jeff's okay, too.
This is our town of the week for next week. Covington, Georgia. What are the odds on that?
We got exactly on Box Elder, South Dakota.
Elder, South Dakota. Okay. That one we can do, I think. All right. Thank you very much for that. Thank you. And Tess, and thank you, Sarah, for that. Town of the week. So, what else is new?
I don't know.
Did you have a point you wanted to make about the sound?
I had a question for TJ.
Oh, he's PJ. He's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. Bye.
Okay, sorry. Okay, this little number here now, something you wrote, or?
No.
No.
But Covington really sounds like a paradise, so.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
All lost in a stranger. Okay, so polar vortex. Bob Gow from Rosebud, South Dakota. That you, Bob? Figured that was you. Stand up here, would you, Bob? How the heck are you?
Good. To see you again.
Good to see you. And now you know all about this polar vortex thing, because it struck me by surprise. I thought I was just living in Wisconsin in the winter.
Well, my question was, did anybody notice it here?
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering. 52 below seems like normal for Rhinelander. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Rhinelander probably is. And what about Lone Rock, coldest place in, at least in the county there? Whatever county they're in, Lone Rock. What county is Lone Rock in?
Richland.
Of course, Richland. I don't know. What about, are you living in South Dakota now?
Yeah, Rosebud.
Yeah,
right.
In Rosebud. And Did it strike them as unusual there in Rosebud when it was suddenly 50 below or 40 below?
We're used to cold, although Rosebud's in a banana belt, so it can be 11 below, and you know that's pretty warm and it's comfortable in the wintertime.
The banana, is there like a some sort of a...
There are no bananas, but no, it's just...
I mean, are you on some sort of a volcanic
It's the northern end of the Oglala Aquifer, and it's a little warmer right there than anywhere else in South Dakota.
Why would that end of the aquifer be warmer than the other end?
Well, the water sort of keeps you...
But it's in the ground, though, isn't it?
Is
there steam heat there in Rosebud?
Actually, there is. There's geothermal heat.
I'm smart, and I didn't even know it.
And we're trying to keep that water clean from that KLX pipeline.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, just trying to keep that out of there. So.
Well, just run it through North Dakota. You should be all right.
Could do that.
Unfortunately, you're right underneath them. It's got to come somewhere around. It could go around you, maybe go over into Iowa or something.
Somebody said because the court case in Nebraska said they can't run it through there. It's unconstitutional,
oh, yeah,
the way they routed it. They said, well, they're just going to go to Kansas instead.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you still got Nebraska in between.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know how they figure that.
It's not a good thing.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you for clearing some of that up.
You bet. And it was that wind you were complaining about?
Yeah.
We were aiming for Minnesota, but that wind just hit us all the way, and we ended up here.
Thanks for deflecting it our way. Yeah, that wind, I don't get it. Do you enjoy the winter? Do you do winter sports or anything?
No.
No? You go outside and when it's really bad out?
What do you mean by bad?
Bad. I mean like living here bad. You know, going out there and it's really cold, or still go outside and do stuff, right?
Sometimes.
You like the snow?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do with the snow? Anything? I'm not accusing you of anything. I know you look like I didn't hear anything or anything. But you build snow things or you ski or anything?
I like to lay in the snow.
You like to lay in the snow. You're my kind of person. That's what I would, if I could stand it, I would do that. And your name is?
Ella.
Thanks, Ella. Nice talking to you. It's a pleasure. Sorry, I didn't mean to pin you down. I didn't, you know. I just want to know, kids. When I was a kid, my mom would put me in my parka. I can remember this. It's really zip me all the way up. We had parkas in those days. I don't know if they still do. And then wrap the thing all the way around my head so nothing was visible, and push me out the door. And I was, that's called go out and have some fun, Michael. And he's just stand by the door there, waiting, you know, waiting till looking at the knob till it turns again. And that was. For me, that was winter activity in Milwaukee. David from Sun Prairie says, what's the first sign of spring in Wisconsin? For me, it's when the roof starts leaking, when the ice dam breaks up. It happened to me just the other day. And they get the buckets out, and it makes kind of like an orchestra of sounds, according to what kind of bucket you got. What about for you, Dave?
Dead skunks.
Dead skunks is another good one. Stand up a second. Stand up. Yes.
Yeah, whenever you smell a skunk, yeah, you can be sure that spring is here.
Yeah. Do you get a lot of dead skunks around you?
No, not really. Just, you know, but they're out on the road and stuff. It's sort of like possums when you see possums and stuff out on the roads. And, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Dead skunks. Anyone got anything else here? Signs of spring in Wisconsin? Got your ice dam breaking up. We got dead skunks so far. Anything else? What?
The snow's gray.
Yeah, it actually goes black at a certain point. Yeah. Gray snow. Good one. Yes?
Well, you got two things.
Two things. Okay, it's going to be two things. If it's two things, I'll make the trip. If it was just one thing, you could shout that out. But you got two things, and I got to go over there and get them. Okay, come this way at least. It saved me a little mileage there.
Okay, well.
How are you?
Fine.
You got
two you got things. Two things. Nope. Yeah. The ice shanties are floating in the lake, and the manure spreaders are out.
Thank you very much. Those are the two things. That could have been worse, I suppose. Okay. Oh, the shanties are floating. Oh, yeah, the ice fishermen actually start falling in. That's a good sign right there. Do you ice fish at all?
No.
Do anything athletic or sporty?
You definitely.
Yeah.
What?
What?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. You play cards or what do you do?
Yeah.
What kind of cards do you play?
Euchre.
You play euchre. Now, that's a complicated game.
Oh, it's very complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you always played euchre? I mean, did someone teach you how to play euchre? Because I've seen guys doing it, and I went, well, God, that seems too complicated.
Oh, yeah, it's five cards apiece. It's pretty tough.
Yeah, but isn't that the one that has the pegs and stuff, isn't it?
Oh, that's a cribbage.
Well, that's cribbage. I was thinking of cribbage then. That's euchre must be easy compared to cribbage.
Yeah, real easy.
You play cribbage as well?
Sure.
This is just, I think, you sit in a cabin somewhere and drink a lot of beer and play instead of going out and hunting, right?
That's right.
Okay, thank you. So that's considered a sport then in Wisconsin. How can I stop my pet pig from eating all the rugs in the house? Philip Miles? If we can help, but you have a pet pig? Because I'm not going over there if you really don't and you're just hallucinating something here. Okay, he's got a pet pig. I'll make the trip. What sort of pig is it?
It's a miniature pot-bellied pig.
A miniature pot-bellied, is it really a pig then?
It's not.
It's a pig. Is a pot-bellied pig actually a pig, or is it just like a big rodent? So I'm sorry. Stand up there, would you? Okay, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. You're a pot-bellied pig, so go tell us.
Yeah, he's about 30 pounds. His name's Jerry.
Jerry?
Yeah, and he's like he's a good little pig most of the times, except for the rug. Yeah, there's this one rug in the hallway, and he just tears it up. Yeah.
Why did you get a pot-bellied pig?
Why wouldn't we want a pig?
Why would you want a pig?
It was my idea.
Oh, okay, then it's a good idea.
It was a shared idea. I mean, we had both come to the conclusion separately that we wanted a pig.
Really? Is that how you met over this idea of a pot-bellied pig? Is that...
You could say it.
Craigslist?
Yeah, something like that.
Seeking person who wants pot-bellied pig kind of thing?
That's exactly how we met.
And it's worked out, and are you happy with your pig?
Yeah, so far, except for the destroying things part.
Well, but yes.
There is a product called, they use it for like, I think, dogs and cats, but it's called Bitter Apple. It's supposed to like be, but maybe a pig would like go, oh my God, that's so good, and it would just make him more. I don't know. But you could try it. You can get it in pet food stores.
Yeah. Does it do any tricks or anything? Are they good pets in general?
Yeah, in general. He can sit, spin, go on a figure eight. He can stay. Yeah. He's learning new tricks every week or so. Yeah.
How old is he now?
9 months.
9 months?
Yep, nine months.
Just a little. He can do a figure eight already at 9 months. That's so cute.
if there's incentive with food, yeah.
Do they do that just naturally? Is that like a defensive thing that pot-bellied pigs do, figure eights?
No, the defensive mechanism is squealing loudly.
Well, it sounds just great. I wish I could help you more. Problem, but I think John's idea is a good one. Or take the rugs out. I would say either take the rugs out or take the pigs out. Those are the two things you can do. But look at this. Why do goats eat everything? Cora Schultz, Olympia, Washington. Do you have goats?
No.
Okay, then I'm not going over there. You're saying why in general do goats eat like tin cans and stuff? I don't know. Is that even true? Is it true? I don't know. If you had goats, we'd know. Can you get a goat and come back? Okay, all right. But they supposedly eat everything. Anyone here have goats? Okay. Look at this. This is like a dream job. Bridget Miles, what is she? She's a doll accessory designer. That's you with a pot-bellied pig. Can I stand up here, Bridget? Forget about this pig business. Let's get past that. Doll accessory designer?
Yeah, at American Girl.
Oh, that's a dream job. That's a dream job.
Thanks. I like it.
I think my job is easy and good, but that's like a dream job. I'm sure it's not easy, but it's...
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
As an American girl, did you ever grow up thinking you would be designing accessories?
I used to look at the catalogs a lot and think I wanted everything. So, yeah.
Have you had some breakout new designs? Have you upgraded her? Not upgraded, but kind of, made her a little, cutting edge?
Sure, but they're not out yet. They're top secret.
So I can't talk about them. Anything out that you've designed that's out that we can talk about?
I've only been there 9 months, so nope.
9 months, okay. Still gestation for these things. Okay. But is it a great job?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
How does one get to be an accessory designer for dolls?
Industrial design background, schooling, so.
And in school, do they cover some of this doll design stuff, or?
Not exactly. It's just product design in general, but that's what led to it.
American Girl dolls, they're not products.
Oh, of course not.
Well, that sounds just great. And, well, congratulations to you and on the pig and on him as well. He seems like a nice guy. Wow, is that a cool job? Would you like to do that? Be a like a designer for accessories for American Girl doll?
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Make friends with her. Get you in. You know, I mean, that'd be kind of cool design thing. Have you ever been on a stage with a silverback gorilla? No. Thank you, Rebecca, for asking. Why would you ask that, Rebecca Williams? Oh, it's not a real one. No, they aren't that small.
We brought him the whole way from Pennsylvania. He's been listening to you for years.
Why do you happen to have a small silverback gorilla?
One of my friends nicknamed me Uncle Graybush, and they gave me that as a...
So that's supposed to be you?
Yeah, that's supposed to be me, right.
Kind of silverbacked, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, no, never had that, but thank you very much, and nice to see you again. Does he have a name?
Graybush.
Graybush, okay, Graybush. Well, thank you both. I do have one silverback gorilla thing. When Ellie was about 8 years old, she wanted to eat an entire bag of Snickers. And her mother wouldn't let her, and she was just screaming at him, and she said, "Dad, tell her I can eat the whole bag of Snickers. You're the silverback." That's the only reference I have. Which is certainly not true.
Yeah, how'd that go?
No, that didn't go too good. What's your philosophy on performance? Why do you perform? Well, here's someone who's an actual performer. R3ID, what does that mean? Libby, Carmel, Indiana, performer, student, musician, brother, hungry. Oh, that's you. This is a very strange card. Stand up for a minute, would you please? Would you mind? What do you perform as a performer?
I do music, I do acting, I do musical acting.
Why do you do that with your mouth when you say those words?
With talking?
No, acting. Yeah,
you like that?
So which do you like the best of those things?
Well, both, I guess. Kind of a mix.
There's four of them, I think.
Oh, the qualifications? Yeah. I'm not a big fan of hungry, personally.
Yeah. No, I don't mean those. I mean you said you like acting, you like performing.
Okay, so I'm sorry, man.
There's like four things. But...
Yeah, no, I love...
What are you doing right now, let's say, as far as performing?
I'm just enjoying the show right now.
No, I know. Yeah, come on. Besides giving me a hard time, what are you doing right now? I mean, in terms of performance. Yeah, performance.
Our college, Beloit College.
Beloit College. Beautiful Beloit College.
Yeah, I'm actually in this play. Next week it goes out. It's called Plan B. It's about domestic violence, and I play a bad person.
You play a bad person?
A pretty dang bad person, yeah.
Could you get into the character? That'd be a tough thing to get into.
Yeah, well, you know, I watched a lot of Breaking Bad and stuff, so it kind of helped.
So you got the Heisenberg principle going there? And
yeah, you know, I got the bald head, and I'll shave my head and everything.
Do you, for the play? Shave your head?
No, I don't.
It'll grow back. You're lucky.
Yeah.
And now you say, what is your philosophy on performance? Is that a serious question?
Yeah.
Does this look like it has a philosophy of performance?
I figure maybe you got like a mantra or something you say.
A mantra?
Shows. Yeah. No? You got anything like that?
No. My advice is don't think about it.
That's a good one. That's it. I got something like that. I say, life's a joke and nobody's cool. It's kind of comforting, you know?
That's your mantra?
So it's one of them.
How does that work for you?
It's great. It
helps you when you're...
So I'll be like here and I'll be like, oh my God, it's Michael Feldman. Yeah. And I was like that. Yeah.
But I get that a lot.
Yeah.
I bet. Last time was 1989, I think, but...
That was a good year. Well, anyway, and then I just think, you know... Life's a joke, and nobody's cool. Not even Michael Feldman.
No. You know? Least of all, really.
It's comforting, honestly, yeah.
Yeah, no, it comforts me all the time. How uncool I am. And...
Oh, well, I mean, it's...
No, it's not a problem for me. I never thought of a performance. I saw Matthew McConaughey was on that show, you know, where they interview actors studio.
Yeah.
You know, ask him what God's going to say to you when you, you know, you know.
What'd God say?
To Matthew McConaughey, God would say, hey, man, or something like that. I don't know. Wasn't very good, his answer. But he did say about acting, he said, you're talking about playing this part for the detective one, you know, the true detective. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen that. It's an amazing role. Yeah. It's a very complicated character with a lot of psychological damage and all kinds of, you know, excellent character. And he said, and he saw it. He said, well, I gotta be this guy. I can't act it. Yeah. You know, he said, I gotta be the guy, not act it. So yeah. I thought that's good advice.
No, yeah, it's like with the character like in Plan B. It's he's such a bad guy, but you can't play him like a ridiculous Disney villain or something. You got to get in there. Yeah.
The empathy of a really horrible human being.
Bryan Cranston style. Yeah. You just get in there.
And your name is actually what?
Oh, Reed. R-3-I-D. I got bored with the E, so it's a 3 now.
All right, cool, man.
Nice meeting
you. You're cool. You'll do fine. You'll do great. Look for R-3-I-D. Libby from Carmel, Indiana. You'll be hearing that name again, I'm sure. Okay, so then I got to work on my performance style now. I'm a little self-conscious. I didn't even know I had to think about that. We're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz, a chance for you to win fabulous prizes simply for being fabulous. And so now then, I'm gesturing a lot more than I used to, too. That's part of my performance thing. So let's see the hands of those of you who want to try this time. You saw it worked pretty well, and I think that okay, you. That seems fair. A little gender equality here. How are you?
Good. And yourself?
Not bad. Well, this hurts when I do this. And you know, sometimes this might be arthritic, is what I'm thinking now. I'm having some problem with that. Okay, that was not a question you asked, though. You know, you reach a certain age, you actually start to answer those questions. That's to be avoided, if at all possible. And your name is?
Jason Siechlog.
Really? How do you spell that?
S-I-E-D-S-C-H-L-A-G.
Jason. Are you from around here, Jason?
Reedsburg, Wisconsin.
Reedsburg, the butter capital. Butter! Jason! All coming together now. Give me one good reason you should play this quiz, Jason.
One good reason to play the quiz?
Play the quiz. Or not to, either one.
I think I know answers.
You think you know answers?
Yes.
Okay, that's weak, but that's like a weak password kind of answer. That's why when you put a password in, they say weak. You know, if you're a password, have a seat there if you want. Do you get that for your passwords ever, weak? Don't you hate that? That's so judgmental. Having your password called weak. I use it anyway. Hell with them. I don't care. I like it. It's worked
for me. 1, 2, 3, 4.
5, sometimes. Sometimes you need 6 digits, so it goes all the way up at that point. What do you do these days, Jason? You working?
I'm a teacher.
Oh, yeah. Where do you teach?
In Nisita, Wisconsin.
Nisita. What do you teach?
High school history and social studies.
Really?
Yes.
What do they call it these days? Social studies still?
Yeah, social studies, yeah.
Yeah. They always call it, what did they used to call it? It was history, wasn't it? Before it was social studies. But I thought it was something after social studies.
Social sciences.
Social sciences, there we go. Social performance. Very good. Then you have to worry about that part of it. And so what are you guys studying right now?
Right now in U.S. history, we're studying the Cold War.
The Cold War. I was there for that. Want to know anything?
Do I know anything, or do you know anything?
No, you want to know anything, because I mean, you probably don't remember it, right? You're a young feller.
All right, well, I am young.
What do you want to know?
Fallout shelters?
Fallout shelters. Some people had them. What else?
Sputnik.
Oh, boy, that was something. Remember that? It beeped. That's the only thing it did. Sputnik, it beeped. But that was enough to put him in the lead. What else?
Protests at UW-Madison. Do you remember that?
The what?
The protests at UW-Madison over the Vietnam War.
He doesn't remember that.
That's not Cold War. You're skipping ahead in time here. I know that, too. Is that next week's lesson? Because I got lots of stuff for you on that. Okay, we're good. I've covered most of the Cold War, anyhow, the important parts of it. And how do you like teaching? Enjoy? How long have you been doing it?
10 years now.
Yeah? So you like it?
Yes.
Yeah, enjoy it. I bet your kids really enjoy your class as well. You trying to make it...
Relevant?
Not relevant, then. Yeah. You know, entertaining, engrossing, the performance element.
A little bit, I guess.
You ever come in costume as Lincoln? Or, you know?
I thought about it, but I haven't.
Yeah? Come as the Gettysburg Address. Oh, this big piece of paper walked in the room. Actually, written on the back of an envelope. You come as an envelope.
That would be great.
Say, who am I, kids?
And they wouldn't know.
No, they wouldn't know. Did he actually, by the way, write it on the back of an envelope?
I don't believe so, actually.
Okay. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to Google it. Well, that's really cool. And are you from around here? Or?
From Reedsburg, actually. You well, I live in Reedsburg. Yeah. I originally grew up in Orangeville, Illinois.
Oh, you did, huh?
Yes.
I've been to Orangeville. Isn't that where you got to go through? Because we're going to Sterling.
Right.
And you have to go through Orangeville, don't you?
Isn't that well, you used to. They built
they
a
rerouted
bypass.
It.
Yeah, they built a bypass around it probably about 10 years ago.
Yeah. Because there's big signs at the Orangeville. What's the name of the team?
Broncos.
Orangeville Broncos. There's a big sign. You go right past the school, right?
Right. And there's a statue of when they won the state championship for football, yeah.
Well, I didn't really stop. I'm sure there is, but yeah, Orangeville. How was that? Cool? Growing up in Orangeville?
It's nice, I guess, yeah.
You pretty much had to play on the highway, though, didn't you? Because the highway runs right through.
Right, right. Well, it used to, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you would basically, the sidewalk was right next to the highway, so, yeah. You had to be careful not to get hit by a semi.
Okay. Unless you wanted to, I guess.
Yeah, probably yeah, right.
Probably. Look, Jason, very nice to have you here. And it's a general knowledge quiz. You know how this works? No? Okay. Someone out there calls in, plays along with you. It's cooperative, isn't it?
That's
Sarah?
Right. Yep. Yeah. And people who want to play along, they pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669. And you reach into that little black box there and ask them a qualifying question.
So it's not a competition is what I'm trying to stress.
No, it's a cooperation. Just like you and I every week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. this box here?
Yep.
Okay. Percentage of kids who are caffeinated right now. I'll tell you, this is a surprising result to me, but they find, between the soda and, I guess kids are drinking coffee now. You drink coffee? No, okay. She doesn't drink coffee. Percentage of kids who are caffeinated right now, within how many percentage points?
10.
Boy, you're generous.
5?
Okay.
Okay.
Percentage of kids who are caffeinated right now, kids who have caffeine in them or have something, Coke or Pepsi or whatever, or, something.
Red Bull,
yeah. Let's go to PJ in Brecksville.
Hello. Hi there.
Oh, this is the same PJ that was on before.
That's right. I called because somebody had a question for me in the audience.
Oh, no, we're done with that.
Yeah, I know. But I called back, and now I'm in the quiz.
Oh, you want to do the quiz thing?
Sure.
Okay. Percentage of kids who are caffeinated right now. Have some sort of caffeine product circulating in their systems, in their little systems.
40%?
You say 40?
Oh, surprisingly high, is that what you said?
I said you're surprisingly
75%.
High, yes.
75%.
What? 75. Is that what you're saying?
75%.
It's 73% that I have here. I got PJ, I can't get rid of you, man.
Yay.
You own this show, PJ.
All right.
You've taken over my show.
PJ's What Do You Know?
Yeah. Not so bad. Sounds pretty good. Okay, yeah. PJ, this is Jason, and he's a social studies teacher.
Yes, hi, Jason.
Yeah.
Hi, PJ.
My wife is actually doing her dissertation on Cold War civil defense.
Oh, wow.
Duck and cover.
Yeah. We're connected.
Leave your number, man. We'll get back to you on that. Yeah. We did the duck and roll.
Not duck and cover?
Duck and cover and roll.
Oh.
Duck and roll.
And cover and whatever it was. You had to go get your little, from the cloakroom, get your little parka I mentioned earlier, and kneel against the wall with your coat over your head in case of a nuclear attack. So I know what to do, and a lot of these young people are going to be lost if that ever actually happened. Well, that's what you do, I told you. Okay. What? Okay. PJ, you pick the first category from one of these.
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
What would you like?
Science.
Science. Neanderthals. A, would strew their underskins all around the cave. B, were quite fastidious in their living spaces. Or C, practiced feng shui. This is Neanderthals' personal habits around the cave. Talking over.
What do you think? Fastidious, Jason?
Is that the second choice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Quite fastidious. That's even better than fastidious, I think.
Is it right.
Better or worse than fastidious? Yes, that's right. Quite fastidious. Yay. Holy cow. You guys are too smart for this whole quiz thing.
One right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left?
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Jason?
Let's go with people.
Now, Jason, do you have to coach? Social studies teachers always had to be coaches, too. Every school.
Yeah, I have coached, yes.
Yeah, what have you coached?
Girls basketball and football.
Girls football, too?
Not yet.
Okay, it's just boys football?
Yeah.
But you both? Are you not coaching currently?
I am not coaching girls basketball anymore.
I don't know why you're being devious about this. Something happened. It's funny, I taught high school English, you know. And they never made the English teachers coach. Did you notice that? You ever see English teacher? I teach, you know, literature, and I coach boys wrestling. Never. Never happened. Okay. Here's the question from the people category. Do conservatives even like cats? Do conservatives even like cats? Is it A, not so much, B, love them, or C, none of your business?
I have no idea.
I was thinking A.
Not so much?
Not so much.
He says not so much.
I'm leaning towards liking cats.
I'm okay with going with B then.
Love them?
I don't know.
C, I guess, yeah.
None of your business.
What was C?
Oh, no, wait.
You went A first.
Not so much. You're leaning towards not so much. And then he sort of turned your head around there a little bit.
Right.
Do you feel fundamentally correct in what you're saying?
With the first choice?
I'm going to say, let's go A.
Yes. Not so much. That's right. I dropped my little bell and I never picked it up. Okay. Here it is. Let's win it on this one. You got one more chance to win this quiz, and what's left?
Current events, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Okay. Whose turn is it? PJ, what would you like?
I think things we should have learned in school. Since
here it is.
Teacher.
For all the money. What's that thing called in science class that makes your hair stand on end?
Static electricity?
No, the van...
You're talking to a social studies
generator. Any idea? What's that, John?
Transgenerator?
Van de Graaff generator?
That's right, the Van de Graaff generator.
Yay!
They don't use them anymore.
Signature roast of What Do You Know show and a pound of What Do You Novo roast from Denver's Novo Coffee. PJ, you can celebrate a quarter century of
nice
comedy
job,
from
man.
The father of small talk radio with a priceless Silver Jubilee anniversary quarter, combining the profiles of both great men. Congratulations to you both.
And other things, too, I'm sure.
Thanks,
BJ. Nice talking to you.
Hey, Peoria, What Do You Know fans, Michael and the gang will be in your neck of the woods on Saturday, March 22nd.
Jason.
Come to the Five Points Theater in Washington, Illinois to be part of the show. Tickets for this special broadcast are available at notmuch.com.
Yeah,
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer.
Bye, everybody. Thanks
for coming.
Adam,
PRI, Public Radio International.